Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Coming up on the 50-minute mark, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Without further ado, let's bring on veteran Steelers apologist Mark Cabali. How are you, sir?
What's up, Joe? I heard you really going on a little rant today, this morning.
What was I saying?
I don't know how bad Arthur Smith was or something like that, but he seems like a nice young man or something like that.
Yeah, he is a nice man. I give him a B minus or so on the season.
But he definitely has that machismo.
Stop it. Let's get to fresh Mark Cabali. No more clips of Cabali. Listen, big boy, I want to get definitive word, and I think this is important, at least your definitive opinion on everything, you know, on some key plays from that Browns game before we move on. Are you ready?
Okay.
All right, let's start with the Hail Mary at the end. Let's hear, I'm going to play for you the Ben clip, and what I really want to know from you after this is George Pickens to be absolved for this? Was he getting railroaded out of the end zone? Or was this his fault, and did he basically, you know, abdicate his responsibility on a play? Let's hear from Ben.
GP is fighting somebody out of bounds before the ball even gets touched. How is that possible? None of our guys are going up for that ball.
The only thing I can think of is that either they didn't see it or Russ threw it like maybe a little earlier than they expected.
Sure.
But again, yeah, George is fighting with a guy before the ball is even in the air. And I'm like, is he trying to draw a penalty? I'm confused by that as well. Like, yeah. I don't know what he's doing. I'm not saying that he's giving up on a play, but if you're not making a play on the ball, you're not, sure. Like, what are you doing? That kind of made me bonkers too. Like, we didn't have anybody there to make a play. And that's your guy. If you want one guy to be down there, yes, it's him or Mount Washington.
So that's Ben from his football and podcast. How much responsibility does Pickens have on that play? How much should we be blaming him for what happened?
Yeah, I think Tomlin said yesterday there was nobody there to high point the ball, which means the guy actually going after the ball first. I don't know if I was broke it down in depth enough to tell if that ball was out of bounds, if he didn't give it any effort or anything to that for. But the bottom line is there was nobody within, you know, 5 yards of potentially making that play. Nobody else was even going for it.
Wait a second. Okay, go ahead.
That was George's responsibility to go get it. Then the deflection would have then came to one of the other guys. Now, I don't know if he didn't see it. I don't know if the ball was thrown out of bounds. I don't know if he was railroaded out. I don't know. But it is George's responsibility to go down there and try to make the play. I just don't know what led to him not making that play, but it was definitely his responsibility.
Or even attempting to make that play. To me, it comes down to this, and I've seen all the footage, and I'm still a little bit perplexed here. Did Newsom ride him out of the end zone, and then George just retaliated at the end by grabbing the guy's helmet? Or was it George's fault? In other words, if he was distracted by this guy and was more interested in getting back at him or doing whatever he was more interested in that little tussle than he was in the potential game-winning pass in the air, then as Pony said the other day, he's more guilty than Tyreek Stevenson. Is that the guy's name? From the Bears, who was taunting fans after the ball was snapped on a Hail Mary, but at least he got back in the play. George never did. So what does the footage tell you?
It looks like to me that he did get rode out of the end zone a little bit more than he was worried about. My goodness, it's a train coming by, Joe.
That's okay.
Him trying to start a fight. I think after he realized the ball was not going to be caught or was going to go out of bounds, that's when he was going to take his liberties with Newsom. I think we saw that after the Dallas game when he ripped the guy's helmet off or ripped his face mask. And even all in throughout that game, you saw different clips of George more worried about mixing it up with Newsom, trying to draw penalties from him, trying to trip him on purpose coming off the sidelines than just making the play. I think George has done a pretty good job of maturing compared to last year, but I think it's quite obvious he still has a way to go because you can't – I mean, you got a game on the line here, Joe. You got to be worried about making plays to win. You can't be worrying about tripping people or, you know, dropping elbows on people like he did earlier in the season as well. So
you have to do everything you can. Yeah. Clearly, he was the jump ball guy. The other guys, everybody blamed them because they just stood there. That was their job. He was the jump ball guy. I'm convinced of that. Let's go to another
point. I mean, why not? I mean, he's 6 foot whatever.
Right, of course.
Yes.
But he's more worried about fighting this guy. He should have done everything he could to, I don't care, toss that guy aside and do his job. It was just
Here's the thing,
weird.
Joe, I've been told by a number of people that he is the biggest trash talker on the team and probably on the field on every single down. So I'm sure opponents use that to get into his head. And it looked like Newsom was into his head at times on Thursday.
All right, let's get to the Russell Wilson is blazing hot, really, for the whole game. Would he have 75% completion percentage? Just drilled a ball down the seam for a touchdown in a snowstorm. So what do they do with the game on the line at 3rd and 4? Justin Fields heaves a jump ball down the field, and at least this time Pickens wasn't in a fight. At least he was on the field. But let's hear what Tomlin said about this.
We felt good about it, to be quite honest with you. It was a weighty moment. It was 3rd and medium. They had 11 guys within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. We had GP matched up on a corner not named Denzel Ward. That feels like more than a 50-50 ball to me, and so we were comfortable with that decision.
Even though Justin hadn't thrown a pass in a game in a month?
Even though, certainly.
How about the Gravesdigger? How about him coming off the top rope there? Huh? This was an act of insanity. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What are they doing?
It makes sense.
It doesn't.
Wait, let me get to it now. It makes sense that they were trying to set up a play and they had the matchup they want, or you have the question of what quarterback's in the game at that point, right? I mean, if Russell's in the game at that point and makes that same exact throw on 3rd and 4, nobody has a problem with it. It's because Fields was in the game, which you have to then question it. But those are plays they try to set up throughout the game, and they know on different 3rd and mediums and whatever it is that play is going to present themselves with the defensive scheme. So they're anticipating that happen. If they're anticipating that to happen, then you have to question why Russell Wilson's not in the game at that point. So I think it was the right call. I think it was just the wrong quarterback.
Yes. It was one of the most ridiculous decisions of Tomlin's recent career. Like, it's mind-boggling. They're in a snowstorm. The other guy's red hot. I thought they brought in Russell Wilson to try and win a champion. Can you imagine if you had Ben in his prime or Russell Wilson in his prime pulling them off the field in that situation? I get the Taysom Hill stuff, the 4th and short, whatever. But in that situation, you would never do it. Is this indicative of Tomlin maybe not fully trusting Russ?
No, I don't think that's the case. I think they just thought that Fields would present a dual threat there where they don't know if he's going to run or where they're going to throw the ball. I think what they do need to do is streamline the Justin Fields stuff a little bit. I mean, I know it's hard to do, and you got to do
you know, down in distance, time of the game, or whatsoever. But don't tell me that you can't come up with a package or a play or a set of situations where Justin Fields needs to be in the game, and it wouldn't be third and four in a snowstorm late in the game. So I think over their self-evaluation over the past week, I think if anything should have been the top of that list, of course, red zone and short yardage is there. It should be, how do we get Justin Fields into a position where he knows he's going to be on the field during X play, X formation, whatever, rather than just say, hey, bud, go in there. I don't even know if it's Tomlin's choice. It might just be, I don't know who makes that call of saying, get Justin Fields out there. I would assume that that's not Tomlin at that point.
Funny you should ask, big boy. Funny you should ask. We have Tomlin on whose choice and who makes that call.
Yeah, he's lying.
I know. Well, let's just hear it and then we can comment on it. What happened, Limits? Did you get short-circuited? Limits has gone nuts.
No, there's like 12 Tomlin clips. I have to find it.
Yeah, he's got to be more streamlined than this.
Callous,
what is this? 1940? Callous would have had that in two seconds. Are we there?
Here it is.
It could happen from either party, and has, certainly.
Certainly.
Yeah, from either party. Convincing there, huh? Didn't sound quite convincing there, did it?
No, he's saying that the call for Justin Fields could come from, certainly he has veto power.
Yes.
Like that play right there, you got to say, if we're going to throw the ball, I want the guy that I went Lone Ranger to put in the lineup.
Or it could be the other way around, Joe. He could say, I want Justin in there.
Sure. Either way, I'm giving him the blame on that one.
Well, he says he takes all the blame. The buck stops with him. So when in doubt, blame it on the head coach, right? He tells us to do that, right?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Certainly for that particular call,
yeah,
yes.
I don't know whose choice it is, and they'll never tell you. I mean, like I said, I think it's mostly Arthur Smith's choice, but I bet you Tomlin more than interjects from time to time.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here, the Chevy Red Tag event now through December 2nd, 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. High of 47, cloudy skies, 50% chance of rain into tomorrow on Thanksgiving. Mark Cabali of the Pat McAfee Show is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. So, red zone issues. The only teams worse than the Steelers in the red zone are the Giants and the Cowboys. The Patriots are better than them. They're significantly worse than they were under Matt Canada, for God's sakes. I'm getting a lot of suggestions here over text and Twitter. One issue that's coming up, and I realize it's not the most important one, Mark, but it's an interesting one. It seems like people either want more or less of Connor Hayward. Where do you stand on that issue? More or less?
First of all, I think Connor Hayward is talented. He provides something that the rest of the tight ends don't, but he hasn't really been integrated into the offense as much as you would think, especially after his rookie year. I don't think it's, honestly, I think it doesn't really matter. It's Connor Hayward.
Well, it does if he's on the field. He's either taking up a spot for somebody who could help, or he needs to help more.
Think about it, though. He obviously comes in this tight end situation. There's probably going to be three tight ends on the field at that time.
Yeah.
Don't you want a guy who has athletic ability like Hayward has shown over the past to be in there in that situation? So I wouldn't say more or less. I would say that he deserves to be in there from time to time. I'm not sitting there counting his red zone snaps, but I don't. He's very capable of making plays down there.
Are you bullish on fades to Cordell Patterson or reverses in the red zone to Artie Smith really loves him some Cordero Patterson, does he not?
Well, Cordero, I don't think is 100% healthy.
Then that's don't use
issue
him.
Number one, right?
Yeah.
I think that's number one. Second of all, nobody's forcing Russell Wilson to throw that ball either. I mean,
why is a fade to Cordero even an option?
Well, I guess he's big. I mean, the guy is big. The guy is strong. They thought they could just overpower him. But you know how that is with 50-50 balls, man. It's more or less than 50-50 balls right there. But I probably would not have had Cordell Patterson, but they were successful a couple times in practice, and that's probably what they went to. But when you're in a two-point conversion like that, I would think that that's way down the list there, man. Unless you have a guy like George Pickens, then okay. But I think if he had to do it all over again, they wouldn't. But I don't even know if anybody else is out in the route. I wouldn't have probably thrown it to him. But he had the matchup, and you have to give a guy a shot to make the play. He is, like I said, talented, but I just don't think he's 100% right now, and that should have been factored in.
Yeah, it should be. Don't also run him a review. He got two key plays in the game were to Cordero Patterson in the state.
He doesn't look healthy. I mean, does he?
No.
I mean, compared to what he looked like in preseason in the first couple of weeks. You have to understand, he was nursing injuries all throughout the offseason, too, that he didn't even show up until minicamp because he was dealing with some stuff. So he's been banged up a little bit throughout the entire season. So this is just not a one-time thing. Same with Najee. Najee is banged up, too. I think his ankles is a little bit worse than you might think, but he's just fighting through it. That's why you've probably seen some of the numbers go down from him over the past 3 weeks as well.
Well, okay, so they're going into a big game with the Bengals. If that's still the case, that Najee is not nearly 100% and is hurting them, and that Patterson's not nearly 100% and is hurting them, then go to other options. I mean, come on.
They did. Well, they did with Warren. He had most carries of his season, so I think that's a possibility. I think you're just going to see them go more towards the 50-50 route with Warren and Harris moving forward here compared to earlier in the season when both of them were healthy. That just makes sense.
Limits wants to see a whole lot more of Ben Skowronek. Are we going to see that?
Yeah, right.
Ben Skowronek is an interesting guy, man. He's a play tight end. He's a decent receiver. I mean, he's a guy you need as a jack-of-all-trades, master-of-none type of guy.
Then use him in the red zone.
I don't think they're quite ready to do that yet.
What, in your opinion, is the number one problem in their red zone failures? Offensive line play? Play calling? What is it?
I don't think it's calling. I think it's offensive line / running game. It's half and half right there. They're not creating the holes on first down to be able to get positive yards. I mean, that's okay. I think now you have to adjust and let Russell be the guy that throws the ball. If you're going to have to throw the ball on first, second, and third down, this veteran quarterback's shown he's pretty doggone good in the red zone over his career, you know, other than maybe this year a little bit. So I would say the offensive line, number one, followed quickly by the running backs. So they're going to run the ball in the red zone. They want to run the ball in the red zone. They might be just getting a little bit too happy with running it, and they're becoming predictable. So I would throw the ball more, let Russell win it for you or score for you.
Cole, may I engage the big boy in a game of free association?
Yes.
Here we go. You ready, Kabali? How many over under Justin Fields snaps in this game? 3.5.
I'm going to say slightly over just because they used him so much.
No. Wait, come on. Well, you know the game. Let's go here. Let's move.
Okay, slightly over.
Slightly four. Over. It's a 3rd and 4 late in the game. They need a pass completion down the field. They're going to go with Fields or Wilson?
They're going to bring Kyle Allen in.
Would you? Kyle Allen to Skowronek.
Would you, Connor Hayward blocking, right?
Yeah. Would you be in favor of no Justin Fields in this game?
No, I think Justin Fields is a weapon. He has the zone goal line.
Would you put him in at receiver even as a decoy, as Ben said he would?
No, they've never practiced that once, so I don't think they would ever do that.
Okay. A little more of Mount Washington in the red zone for you, yes or no?
After that pick, I don't know. But he is a monster, so he would be option number two for me, probably. Pickens won him, too.
Number one reason T.J. Watt's conventional numbers are a little bit down.
Well, probably because of that Atlanta game. Did so well in the Atlanta game week one, and the Steelers came out. I know I'm going over the time limit here of saying he wrecked the game. They're saying we're not allowing this guy to wreck the game regardless. It means 2-3, chipping, whatever. So I think it's just a lot more attention towards him.
More attention than he's received as a player of the year candidate every year in the league. Suddenly he's getting more attention.
Yeah, and probably because of some of the injuries, and they haven't been quite healthy on the other side, but they're not going to move him around. So I mean, if they move him around once or twice a game, you'll be lucky. So probably should just forget about that. I don't like the wide nine rush on third downs. Quarterbacks get rid of the ball so quick. I don't know why he's 18 yards outside the tight end at the point. So, I'm not really worried about him, but whatever.
Nobody asked if you were worried about him. This is unbelievable, isn't it? We're trying to get a game of free association going
here.
You're
giving me questions that
it's
are
an easy question. They are one-word answers. More attention.
They're
reason
questions.
DJ Watt is numbers are down. More attention from offenses. Next question. That's the way the game is designed, and you're sabotaging it.
This is a very poor question.
All right, pick a year for Minka's next turnover. 2024, which we're in, 2025 or 2029?
How about week 13?
What year is that? Is that this week?
Yes.
All right.
I think it's this week.
Who's going to win this game?
I don't like it either way. I think the Steelers squeak it out. It's going to be one of those ugly ones. Oh, too many words.
Way too many. Thank you, big boy.
All right.
Bye.
Joe, thanks for berating me on the air.
Bye, Mark.
Aren't you used to this by now? You know the questions.
He hung up.
Call him back. Now I feel bad. Berating him on the air.
Yeah, how dare he? He was so upset he hung up on you.
Right. He couldn't follow the rules of the game. Plus, his answers were terrible. Other than that, it was a great segment.
The game sucks.
Yeah, it does.
It's my favorite game.
Cole, thank you for coming in.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, man.